Take RFM Dunedin with you wherever you go, with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This programme was first broadcast on RFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
This year, University of Otago celebrates its 150th anniversary, bringing together students, staff, alumni and the wider Dunedin community for a busy programme of events. On Daring to be Wise, we talk with people from all corners of the university community. Inspirational stories from educators, administrators and those whose time at Otago made a lasting impression. Welcome to Daring to be Wise.
Well, on this series, we've spoken with many people whose passion and commitment to their endeavours shines through, but I wonder if you'll ever find anyone more passionate and committed as an association football follower. Soccer might not have enjoyed the same share of attention and resources rugby in New Zealand, but that doesn't reflect the game's status worldwide, of course, nor the amount of effort that goes into making involvement in the sport valuable here in Otago. Someone with a long association with football at Otago is James Coombs, and he joins me now. James, great to have you with us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
When was your passion for football first ignited?
Well, it's actually a funny story because when I was a young fella growing up in Dunedin, I actually played rugby, but I actually found myself on the slender side of things. So I actually changed to playing football alongside some schoolmates. So that was when I was about 15. And then when I started attending university, I was playing locally, and I ended up changing to the university club in 2005. And I've been there ever since.
Ever since. It's a long time. What would you say in terms of how things were when you first started engaging with the sport, how they were in terms of the opportunities and support that were available here in Dunedin for people who have an interest as a younger player?
I think Dunedin has traditionally been reasonably strong in football. They've had some quite successful teams over the years. Going back quite a long way, some of the teams have been quite successful in the Chatham Cup. So Northern, who still exist now, were Chatham Cup winners, which is essentially the top New Zealand Cup competition you can win, as well as Seacliff were quite strong back in the day. So it has been quite strong. I guess from the university perspective, it's a bit different because we're not relying on locally based players, people coming into Dunedin, and so it is a bit different. And I guess the support in terms of what I've seen with the club hasn't always been that consistent, and we haven't always been that well organised, but things have definitely changed for us in the last sort of 4 or 5 years, and it's an upward trend, and it's something that we're really proud of, the changes that we've made, and we're really starting to make our mark on the game.
Talk a bit more about that in a moment. You studied at Otago, right?
I did, yeah.
And what were you studying?
I studied human resource management and media, film and communications with a bit of classical studies as well.
Remember your student days fondly?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's a great time, and it's certainly something, if you're not part of the student culture, you don't really quite understand exactly how unique it is.
You are at home, still with the folks, were you, when you first started at university? Would you go flatting early on? What was the setup for you?
I actually lived at home for my first 3 years, so I didn't go into a residential college like sort of people tend to do now. So I was still at home and then went flatting kind of as I was getting a little bit further through my degree.
And I guess in terms of the social elements that are such a big part of student life, sport would have been very much part of that for you at that time.
Yeah, and I mean, I made, you know, through the football club, I made a lot of really close friends. And I guess strong relationships developed with those guys really quickly, you know, shared passion, doing things together, winning, losing together. And I've got some friends that I met, you know, 2005 that I'm still really good friends with now, that I still catch up with a lot, that are, you know, some of them have families, some of them don't, some of them are all over the world. But we've still retained some pretty close relationships.
To what level did you play?
Just really locally. I wouldn't say I was ever a superstar. Sort of, I've always been in and around the first team, and but nothing representative around Otago or any of the national leagues.
In those early days, any particular golden memories of that will stick with you forever in terms of outcomes or performances?
Yeah, so the second year I was in the club, and I was involved in the second team, and I kind of got involved in coaching. I mean, being one of the older guys, and when I say older guys, 22 compared to sort of 18, 19, kind of took the lead alongside a good friend of mine, Mark Sholem. We took the team to the championship, so it was the second grade at that time. And, you know, that was just a group of basically 16 really good mates, just doing things together, playing football together, hanging out together. And we're really still quite close, the group of us now.
You'd be aware, I guess, acutely aware here in New Zealand of what I mentioned before, that kind of the place of football relative to some of the larger sports. At that time, when you first started playing at varsity, how well were you supported and resourced?
I would probably say not particularly well. I think sports, traditional sports, have been much better supported in New Zealand, and that probably has continued to be the case probably till about the last sort of 5 years, and things have started to change. I think that particularly in the university, some of the more active clubs, probably rugby, rowing, have tended to do better out of the relationship with the university, something that's kind of been established over time. I think a lot of the other clubs have sort of sat back a little bit and haven't kind of actively tried to create that relationship. They also haven't really kept a connection with their former members either. So I think that's one of the really strong points that rugby and rowing actually brought into it. Less so the fact that they are large sports and well supported, that they're actually kind of on top of the game. So that's something that we're doing in football, and we've been doing really well over the last few years. And I think it's sort of changed our position within the university.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Yeah. You've mentioned that things have looked brighter over the last few years. What do you primarily put that down to?
I think we've been better organised. I think we've had a better understanding about what we're trying to do. We've looked a little bit further into the future rather than sort of the here and now. We've got some pretty passionate people involved in the club at the moment. There's a few people a little bit older and not currently in the student journey, which definitely helps. They just have a bit of a different perspective, but also the students are involved as well. So with our current president, Megan O'Malley, she's been involved for 5 years now, and so she's doing a really good job of kind of keeping everything knitted together. She's also second generation in the club, which is really quite unusual. So her father's actually Dunedin City Councillor Jim O'Malley, so he was a player back in the 1980s before he went to America, and then they came back as a family and Megan joined up with the club. And so I guess she's got that roots within the club and the desire to sort of see it be successful.
How has that translated in terms of growth or otherwise with people involved in the sport at Otago University?
Well, so we, in my time, so 2005 when I was playing, we had four men's teams and the women's team was separate. They were the Otago University Women's Soccer Club, and then a few years later it actually merged together. So we sort of maintained four or five teams, including the women, for quite a period of time. But in the last 4 or 5 years, we've added a number of teams. So we're actually sitting at 10 formal league teams. And we also support 4 to 5 social teams as well. So our club membership has gone from around about 60 in my early days to now 150 plus.
Yeah, well, that's great growth, relatively speaking, isn't it? One thing to see the numbers come up. What kind of facilities are you working with at university?
Our facilities have traditionally been quite limited, so we don't operate out of a clubhouse. There are very limited clubhouse operations down where we are at Logan Park for areas that weren't already established. We've played our home games at the Caledonian Ground, which is obviously one of Dunedin's better grounds, which has really helped. But our training facilities haven't always been that great. That's all changing. So Football South, working with the Dunedin City Council, have worked on a project to put artificial turfs in down at Logan Park. And those are scheduled to be put in place by about April 2019, which will be really our home training base. It's a Football South facility. Well, it's a Dunedin City Council facility that Football South has a lot of time on it, and we've got some guaranteed space on there for 2019 at least, and hopefully that will continue in the future, recognising that Logan Park really is our home ground.
That's good news. Getting back to you, your progression into coaching, was that a natural, seamless exercise for you?
I guess it was actually a conscious decision. So I was playing third grade men's at the time after kind of having coming back from an injury, and sort of recognising the lack of coaches that we had at the time, I kind of made a conscious decision that maybe I'd had enough years playing sort of consistently and that I'd step into coaching to sort of help the club out a bit and take on a role. I didn't really have any roles particularly in mind. It was kind of just where it would fit best for the club.
Any mentors in particular that saw you through that transition?
Well, I worked pretty closely with Darren Hart, who's the men's premier coach for the university club. He's also the head coach for futsal for Southern United. And Darren's been really a great help to me. We're at fairly similar ages in both our coaching careers and also in life. But he's a really intelligent guy. We get on really well. We're different personalities. He's probably a lot more reserved than me. But it's kind of a partnership that really works quite well. And so I guess it started off with him kind of mentoring. And now I think we're sort of more on kind of an even keel. And we sort of bounce off each other, which has been really beneficial for the club. To have the men's and women's head coaches with such a good relationship, it really keeps the kind of parity in place between both men's and women's football, which is something that I think is quite unique to our club. There's probably not a lot of other clubs around Dunedin that actually have that sort of consistency across both and a desire to see both successful and also both to be provided for.
I know it's important to the club that the experience of being involved in football at whatever level is an enjoyable one for those who are engaged with it. What do you do around football to make sure that that's the case for people who say, hey, I want to give this a go?
Well, I think first and foremost it's about getting them involved and being able to play football and consistently playing football, which is, I guess, why we have such a large number of teams, because there is a demand for it. And I think in respect of some of the people that are there, if we didn't have those teams, they just simply wouldn't play. And that would be sad. And that's not something that, as members of the university, we really want to see. We want to see people coming into Dunedin and enjoying their time in Dunedin and making the most of being part of the university community. So I think we have somewhat of an obligation to provide it as well. If people are wanting it, then it really should be available to them.
You mentioned the growth of women's role in the sport. What about the ethnic diversity of your teams? It's the city's ethnic diversity is growing all the time. Is that being reflected in your teams as well and players from all parts of the world?
Yeah. I mean, definitely we've traditionally always attracted to quite a lot of exchange students coming over. A lot of them have really come from the US and Europe, but we're starting to see a little bit more diversity coming through. I think that traditionally there hasn't been a lot of diversity in terms of the people that's attended university, but that's definitely changed in the last sort of 10 years, and we're certainly seeing that reflective in our teams.
Back to the coaching role, what do you enjoy about it?
Well, I think it's an opportunity to give back. It's an opportunity to be evolved at the higher level as well, and I think that that's important when your career starts to wind down and you no longer can do. You getting involved in coaching still gives you that opportunity to be involved at that level, and it's a level, I guess, that I enjoy. But in terms of it's just providing the service to the club as well, it's important for the club. We've been able to do some really good things. We think the future's really bright, and it's great to be part of that.
It's busy enough for most students to attend to studies. There can be pressures that come with involvement in sport, whether it's the pressure of expectation, the pressures of meeting training requirements, their overall health, maybe injuries, things like that, just finding the time for sport. Just talk a little bit about how your teams acknowledge that and support the players through their time at Otago.
I think the most important thing is that we recognise that they didn't come to Dunedin to play football. So whilst that's a big part of their life while they're in Dunedin and a big part of their university experience, they came down here for the academic side of it. So they came down here with the aim of getting a degree. And so it's important that we recognise that. Most of the work we do is around making them aware of what the commitments are and also working with them to help us to understand what the commitments might be. So we have a lot of students who come down who are involved in health sciences first year, which is a pretty competitive program, wanting to get into those professional courses. So it's about managing it with them. And we have to recognise that on occasion there are going to be times when they simply cannot come to trainings. So we work with them. It's about open communication. the health side of it as well. So we've got a pretty supportive program. So we have physios who work with us. So one of our former players, who's now a physio, Mike Wheeler, works with Cape Physio, which is just located on campus on 4th Street. And he's involved with our players. And so we have a program where they can go and see Mike and his team and get physio support. And then the health side of it. It's just about directing them towards student health and the services that are available. If they're struggling to keep on top of things and they're in first year, encouraging them to talk to their residential colleges. And if need be, we put them up with senior players in the team to try and get them to sort of help them through the process, people who might be doing courses that are similar to what they're doing. Lots of things that, like that, are available. We've also got our senior members who have been through the university experience as well, so they kind of know what it's like.
Getting the balance right between involvement in a sport and their academic studies and the social life in Dunedin can make for a well-rounded character, really, can't it?
Yeah, and I think that that's the advantage of coming and studying in Dunedin. It's always kind of been said that people who study at Otago are much more prepared for life once they leave university. They've had much broader experiences. So it's something that we do try and promote. So, you know, having a healthy social lifestyle is important as part of the overall experience of studying in Dunedin.
Now, you've also been involved, of course, with Southern United futsal team. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so I've been the assistant coach manager for the last couple of years for Southern United futsal. So Darren, as I talked about before, is the head coach for Southern United. And it's sort of his thing. He's been an international futsal player in the past. And he approached me a couple of years ago to come on board and just sort of help him out. So the first year was a bit of a learning experience to me. I hadn't been involved at that level before. But this past year, I've probably been quite heavily involved in a lot of the work that we've done there. And the previous season, we were the national champions, and then this season, unfortunately, we got to the final but lost the final. So being in the top two is still great, and it gives us a little bit of fuel for the future years to kind of go back there and try and win that title back.
Outside of your sporting involvement, you're at the university, you're employed at the university with Ask Otago, right?
Yeah, so part of Ask Otago. So we've only been in place since July of 2018, so it came about from the review that the university undertook. So it's been an interesting time. I was in a similar role in a smaller area prior to that, but so there's been a lot of learnings and I guess a lot of long days and long nights, but it's been good. It's still a work in progress, I guess, alongside many things in the university, but we're happy with where they're at. It's an enjoyable role. I get to manage part of the team, so I work with about 20 of the team as the group leader for them, which is really great to be involved in sort of shaping what they're doing on a daily basis and helping them to develop their careers.
And for those who don't know what Ask Otago's there for, a brief elevator pitch?
Yeah, so it's basically the first point of contact for any inquiries coming into the university. So we handle things through all kinds of contact methods, telephone, email, chat. We do some in person as well, which is located in the main library building at the university there. We cover enrolment-related topics. We cover IT. We help students. We help staff. We help the general public. It's really anything you might want to ask the university, we can get involved at the first level there. And if we don't have the answer, we can send you off to the person that will be able to help you.
Well, James, your life is fully enmeshed in university life one way or another. And it's an important year for the university, of course, 150th celebrations. Turning first to the football, is there anything in place for this year in terms of acknowledging the celebration?
Yeah, so we've developed a commemorative playing kit for our men's and women's premier teams that we will be wearing on certain occasions this year. So that's just in the process of being developed at the moment. So it's due to be launched at an event that we're calling our season opening with the Vice-Chancellor on the 13th of March. So that's going to be held at the University School of Business. And so we'll officially launch that new playing kit. It's got a commemorative logo that carries the 150th, and it'll be something that we'll wear for that year, and we're actually going to, at the end of the year, actually auction it off to raise funds for the club. So that's actually been supported by the university as well, and so we're really happy with that. The second thing is that we are organising a reunion weekend, so that's going to be the 9th to the 11th of August, and so we're encouraging our ex-members to come down. We're going to put on some special matches that weekend between some of the ex-players. We're also getting some staff involved as well. well. And so that's going to be a big weekend for us.
And of course, outside of all that, there's the normal competition for the year. You'll be getting into pre-season shortly, I imagine.
Yeah, so pre-season officially for us won't start until February when all of the students are down. But we've got some kick-arounds that are happening at the moment, which has been really great. There's a lot of enthusiasm around the club for this year. We've got a lot of good quality new players who have expressed an interest in getting involved. There's some really interesting developments, particularly in the men's game down here with the advent of the South Island League, and it's something that we're looking to be involved in. It's a qualification process, but we're going through the process now of recruitment of players, and the university's been really supportive through the scholarship program, so they're really keen to see students coming to Dunedin on scholarship playing with the university club, and that will really make a big difference to us, having those players on board.
Well, it's a big year, and it sounds like football's on the up and up. James Coombs, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Daring to be Wise, celebrating 150 years of the University of Otago. You'll find podcasts of all episodes from this series online at oar.org.nz. To find out more about the University of Otago's 150th anniversary celebrations, visit otago.ac.nz/150.
Take ORFM Dunedin with you wherever you go with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This program was first broadcast on ORFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.